The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Oh, Dr. Drew.
Oh, yes.
What a long day.
Oh, yes.
You live.
You live.
Who's your daddy, bitch?
Who is your daddy, bitch?
You live. You live.
Yes!
Yes, bitch!
Well, now, I wonder if the phones are working. It seems like they might be. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We had phone trouble yesterday, and we don't know if we're going to have it today. If you have trouble getting through, you can also try 800-520-1067. But I think the first shot ought to go to 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes.
It's working. Anderson says they're working.
It's working.
Let's bring it.
All right. Let's do it.
What's the situation tonight?
It is, how much does it cost for anal?
No. But the word cost is involved
in
our guest tonight.
I forgot what the open forum was. I know it has something to do with hookers because
have you ever used an escort?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Samantha Costa is a former escort. And she stars in a Showtime docuseries called 3 AM about her experiences as an escort. And it's fascinating. It really is. It's Dick Wolf is the producer, and you may know that name because he's the man behind all the Law and Order series.
Mm-hmm.
It airs, there he is right there. That's how he talks. Thursday nights, 11 PM on Showtime. So yeah, I mean, I truly am fascinated by the idea of prostitution. I'm not someone who's ever sampled that. I'm shocked. I've never paid for any sex act, but it's very strange. I was even thinking about it even more in depth as I was watching Rashida Jones' documentary about porn, because I was thinking it's so weird that it's 100% illegal to pay a woman to bang you, but if you film it, it's totally okay.
Is that hot girls wanted?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah,
or
it is.
It ruin
it's really sad.
Does it ruin? Yeah.
It doesn't ruin everything because it doesn't focus at all on like big name pornography. It's all about like getting into amateur level and like the exploitation of young women.
But if that's your go-to, then it ruins everything.
Yeah, if you're way into like the lower kind of grade.
What do these women expect? They expect to get famous from this or something?
No,
what's the exploiting part?
The exploiting part is that I think there's women who aren't given, they're not kind of up to par with like modern skill sets. They may not be computer savvy, whatever, and instead of falling into other lines of work, there's kind of predatory dudes out there that are, and sometimes even predatory women.
But what is it they're hoping to get out of it?
I don't think they're hoping to get anything out of it except for like
a paycheck that day.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're at 18 or 19 from smaller towns. I can't expect anyone to be fully aware of the ramifications of the stuff they do today. I certainly wasn't, but I never had sex on tape. But I definitely did a lot of stuff that I didn't think how it would affect me for the rest of my life.
Right.
And that's what a lot of these girls are doing. At least that's the way.
And does she interview them afterwards and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's that? What happens?
It's just, listen, I mean, I'm hoping to get Miss Jones on the show.
They get sick, they get drug addicted.
Some are indignant to it. They're like, hey, I'm fun. I just love sex. I'm doing, like the typical porn star.
Yeah.
But that's not the topic for tonight. But I did find it strange. It's just so weird that it is without, not one inch of this country is it okay I guess certain parts of Nevada, to pay someone to have sex with them, but if you get a license to film it, it's totally okay. Do it all day long.
And they give licenses to film it?
Well, you have to have a license to make a pornographic film.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who issues the license?
It's like the First Amendment thing though, right? Because they call it art. That's what it all comes down to.
Who issues the license?
Well, I don't know anything about it. I really don't know anything about it.
So
but I mean, you can't just, like, I can't just pull out my iPhone right now and say, like, Drew, I'm going to blow you and film it, and that's a porn movie. It's a lewd act if you don't check with someone, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't either. But I know that you got to, like, the only reason I know you have to, at least in L.A., you have to have some type of license or else you...
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I like accept that's, what you're saying.
Because they were trying to enact that condom and face shield, Bukkake shield law, remember?
Yeah.
So you have to have some type of ordinance or something.
Huh.
Anyway, it's just kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, prostitution, no. But I'll film it. It's essentially prostitution, but I'm making a movie. It's weird, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Arbitrary.
Hello, Savannah.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I guess, so I'm pretty young, and I feel like my issue is, I'm not common, but I've had some, trouble with, in terms of, my sex drive. Like, I have none. Mm-hmm. And you, I just
how old
like,
are you? Hold on. Have you ever had a sex drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been single for the last couple of years, but in terms of masturbation, I'll masturbate once, sometimes twice a day. So
that's pretty strong.
What's the problem with your sex drive then?
I have none. I'll think about it, but I have no desire.
Wait a second. Do you follow through with actually masturbating?
Yeah.
Okay, then you have a sex drive.
Not anymore. No.
Oh, when did it stop?
Probably within the last 4 or 5 months.
Okay, so that typically...
And I've even gone...
Typically, that would be a medication reaction. So, did you start a birth control pill?
Mm-mm.
Did you start a medication of any type?
No.
Nothing? Not even cold medication?
Not anything for, long term.
What do you mean?
I mean, I've gotten colds and stuff, and I've taken stuff short term, but nothing.
You don't take anything on a regular basis? So, and mm-mm. No contraceptives?
No.
Huh. No IUD.
Like how she says, no.
Yeah. No IUD, no nothing.
Mm-mm. So I don't know, is there anything I can do to change that in terms of medicine or...
Well, first you need a diagnosis. All we have here is a symptom. So you need to go to your doctor and get worked up. Sometime, have you been menstruating normally?
Yeah.
And nothing has changed?
Not in terms of that, no.
Has something else changed?
I mean, I've had a pretty major life change. I graduated, but I don't know how that would necessarily play into that. You know,
I'm trying to figure out medically if there's anything going on. Have you had a big change in weight, up or down? Have you had a change in your sleep patterns? Have you had any rashes or changes in your period or hair growth or anything of that sort?
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Okay. So you need to go to your doctor and get first evaluated to see if there's something going on that is triggering this. Ovarian cysts, all kinds of crazy things can do this, even hormonal problems, thyroid disease, pituitary problems. So go get an evaluation. Then we can start to talk about what possibly could be done. Okay?
Right.
All right.
Right.
Hello, Muhammad.
Hi.
I love to draw you.
I have...
Oh, no, you don't. Oof.
So I have a question for Dr. Drew, and actually if there's time, I have a story for Mike as well, but I first want to get to my medical concern. And I also want to say my girlfriend and I are huge fans of you. She introduced me to the show. She said she's been listening to you guys for ages, that she learned everything about sex from you guys, so thank you very much. You guys live.
You live.
You live. Hopefully.
So my question for you, Drew, is... About a year or two ago, I started to feel this tightness in my right testicle. It almost felt like muscles or ligaments or whatever holds the testicle connected to my body was kind of pulling it a little bit more in towards my body. It wasn't painful or anything. I just had this sort of awareness of my right testicle. And a couple of times I was at the gym doing... Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you cut out for a second.
No.
When I was at the gym and I do deadlifts once or twice, I felt like my testicle sort of went inside of me for a second. I went to 3 different urologists. The first one kind of wrote me off after 2 visits. We did an ultrasound and he said, I can't find anything. I don't see anything, so I can't help you. The second one told me I was having inflammation because I was drinking caffeine, eating spicy foods, and drinking alcohol. And then he pulled out a book that he wrote about how this causes that in your body. And then the third one I finally went to said, you have epididymitis, and it's not a big deal. It'll kind of come and go. My question is, so sometimes when I'm having sex, when I ejaculate, I feel like my right testicle is getting kind of
All right, listen. Muhammad, listen. First of all, calm the hell down. This is all normal. Every bit of it.
All right.
The doctor that blew you off probably did you a favor. The second one gave you a book about the things that can contribute and cause epididymitis. And I imagine the third one treated you for epididymitis. And epididymitis is a very common thing for people your age. The tightness is a symptom of epididymitis. The testicle going back into your body is normal and has nothing to do with anything. It's just you're so focused. Oh. You're just so focused there that you're worrying about everything. None of it is of any consequence. You've had the right workup. Forget it. If it gets really painful or swollen, then you go get the epididymitis treated because it can do that.
All right. Good luck, Mohammed. Hello, Paul. Is that a raincoat?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
What can we do for you?
I don't know. I just need some advice, I guess.
Yes.
I've been friends with this woman now for about, 9 to 10 years. And, about a year and a half, a couple years ago, whatever, we kind of got romantically involved. And it kind of just happened, and we kind of promised each other that we wouldn't develop feelings for each other. And pretty much she's married, and she has
by the way.
And she has a child, and she doesn't want to be in the current marriage that she's in. But she's not financially able to leave that marriage, and she doesn't really want to leave it right now because her child's still young.
Okay.
Right, so and get out of there.
When where does the part come where it has anything to do with you?
Well, I'm in love with this girl, so.
Well, too bad.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
She has a child. She has a family. Stop it. Come on now. You're harming people.
Dude,
get out of there.
Yeah, come on.
Don't be that guy.
I want to be the center fielder for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you know what I'm saying?
He's also been caught twice too by him. So
yeah, well, get out of there.
Again, where does it come? Where does the part happen where it has anything to do with you? This is a married woman with a kid.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, just
if she ends up leaving that marriage, well, then fine. But it doesn't sound like she's going to, and she's trying to protect a family. So don't endanger that family.
And if and when she does, maybe. Then you can reintroduce yourself into that situation. But until then, absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts. This is not your business. Don't care if you're in love with her.
Yeah.
All right, dude?
Get out of there.
Okay.
All right, dude. 1-800.
Don't be that guy.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. You know, that's another reason why, and I know it's maybe not the most pretty reason, it's another reason why marriage is important. Because if he just said, like, I'm in love with this girl, and she has a boy. They have a kid, and she has a boyfriend, and she doesn't like the guy.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well,
yeah, time to go.
Yeah, start talking to her. You know, maybe. But when he's like, she's married and has a kid, we're like, dude,
get out of there.
Get out of there. It's none of your business. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It does make a difference.
I agree.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Samantha Costa is a former escort. Now there is a docuseries about her and her experiences. It is called 3 A.M. and she joins us straight ahead here on Loveline.
It brings you beautiful love, and it'll drive your mind through 1,000 terror-filled moments.
More love lines still to come.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code LOVELINE at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code LOVELINE. That's LOVELINE at AdamandEve.com.
Yeah, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Samantha Acosta joins us this evening. She is a former escort who is now part of a docu-series on Showtime called 3 AM about her experiences as an escort. Thank you for joining us, Samantha.
Thanks for having me.
How long has it been since you've been in the oldest business in the world?
2 months or so.
Oh, it's been that recent.
Yeah. I just retired because of this show.
Yeah. And you seem relatively upbeat about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was fortunate. I never had any bad experiences. Mm-hmm. But I also had resources and a support system in place that really did help prevent that.
And where were you engaging in this business? In Chicago?
All over the country.
All over the country?
Yeah.
Does it vary? Like, does the business change when in different parts of the country?
Yeah, no offense to you guys, but West Coast guys are really cheap.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? It's that the type of business done out here, in, as far as prostitution, and it's different. In L.A. especially, it's different.
I wouldn't know about prostitution.
Right. That's what I mean, is that in you, at least my friends on the Eastern Seaboard, they order escorts.
Mm-hmm.
Guys I know out here, they go down to Santa Monica Boulevard and buy hookers. Like that, mm-hmm. It's a whole different game.
That's,
you know,
exactly what it is. And it's more like last minute, whereas on the East Coast, they'll plan ahead. And I think it's just more of like, just like, you know, East Coast, we're all more neurotic out there. West Coast, you guys, you know how to relax. And
I also think that it's a much more bipolar kind of business out here. Like, there's way more people that are either getting $5,000 a night type chicks, and then the, like you said, the kind of the lower, or
I mean,
there's no middle grade. Like, my friends in Jersey, like, they're pretty like savvy to the ways of the escort. You know what I'm saying? I grew up out here. It's like, it's not really that big of a, unless you're a Hollywood celebrity, you're not really like buying escorts. You know what I'm saying? Like, my friends on the East Coast, it's like, it's pretty common.
I mean, it's more also renting.
Yeah. And what, now that you're out of it because of the docuseries, mm-hmm. do you have any desire to get back into it?
Not particularly, just for various reasons, not because of any bad experience.
Yeah.
I was just in the industry for 5 years and time to move on. It was never my plan to stay in it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And this opportunity came along,
yeah.
and I was just like, why not? Like, yeah, Dick Wolf wants to put me on a TV show.
That's pretty sweet.
Like,
you say, you know, you never had any bad experiences, and, mm-hmm. and you know, I'll take you at your word, but when it comes to selling yourself, I mean, which is essentially the what it boils down to.
No, it's more like renting.
Well, either way, okay. I mean, when it comes to kind of marketing that aspect mm-hmm. of your life, you know, sexual practice, it's I mean, is there really that many degrees of it? Is there good experiences? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, and it's all personal to the it's all relative to the person. I've never really had any bad experiences. Like, there's been annoying clients. There's been some where I'm just like, oh, that could have turned bad, but like, because of my personality, I'm just like, peace.
No violence or anything?
None of that. Mm. But it's all relative to the person. And even being in the position I am, like, there's no other female escort on TV and as open as me. It's still, I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really important for people to recognize, because it also, I feel, hopefully encourages them to actually listen to people in the business, both those with good experiences and positive and bad experiences.
Samantha Acosta is a former escort and part of the docuseries on Showtime called 3 AM. She joins us this evening. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Hello, Ian.
That's me.
What's up?
Hello. A longtime listener. I actually called to talk to Dr. Drew about 18 years ago about the very same problem I'm calling you about tonight.
It's got to be pills.
No, it's not at all. I started smoking weed when I was 12 years old, and I've been a habitual smoker for the last 20 years.
Nice.
I actually found relief from a physical ailment through it for many years, but I've managed to work my way around that through my, you know, gastrointestinal distress without using that. I'm about 4 weeks clean. But I'm having like a lot of weird emotional problems where I'll just like start crying in the middle of the day for no reason, you know, for I'll be watching a TV commercial and it'll just make me start bawling.
Yeah, you're going to be not sleeping, you're going to be irritable and labile, and you're going to be a little paranoid.
I'm actually sleeping really well, and I haven't really been that irritable either. But I am having like a lot of, I feel like
crazy emotional stuff.
Yeah, like crazy mood swings. Like one minute I'll be, you know, feeling totally fine, and then I'll be watching a stupid TV commercial or something, and it'll just strike a chord and make me start crying out of nowhere.
Right. So when I said labile, that's what we're talking about. And
okay. And
when you're in certain states, it's inevitable you're going to be irritable because that's part of having mood lability. It's going to be uncomfortable, and that's irritability. And that's the nature of the beast. The sleep, why you're not having sleep disturbances is almost confusing to me. I wonder, how many hours a night are you sleeping?
I'm getting about 7 hours of sleep. What's really weird is that while I was heavily using, I was an insomniac. I would be up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning every night.
Huh, that's weird. That's unusual.
How old are you, dude?
I'm 33.
Okay.
Anyway, the withdrawal syndrome goes on for about, you know, 3 to 6 months, depending on. It sounds like you're having a really mild version of it.
Well, I'm also having, you know, I'm having a lot of confusion about like who I am. You know, I feel like
is part of that maybe because you're smoking weed just to kind of mask or numb feelings. So now you're actually
yeah. Well, I think it is. I think that what happened was, you know, when I was 12 years old, I started smoking because I was. Well, not because, but in relation to the fact that I was a child of an abusive alcoholic parent, and it was a way to escape my troubles, and you know, and I got recommendation from you that said, you know, that's not a way to deal with my problems, but I, of course, didn't listen because I was 13 years old and thought I knew everything. But for the next 20 years, I've been, you know, every day, nonstop. Getting stoned, and now I kind of, you know, I feel like looking back on it that I was kind of pretending to be this happier, friendlier person than I really am, and I don't even know, like, I don't know who I am because I missed out on all the years where I was.
Right, that's unfortunately what sort of developing. That's a real common thing that people complain about, which is they don't develop. They sort of pick up where they left off. I think, and I will tell you a couple things. One is that people do tend to pick up and catch up rather quickly, but they need to do it in a process. So either 12-step or therapy or something, you need to get some assistance with this because it sounds, you know, it's kind of serious. You're having a lot of mood problems. You're having developmental problems. And why not get help with this? It's good. It's a good thing. It's how you want to grow. Fantastic.
I've had a lot of friends stop smoking weed and go through that and go through therapy.
It's very
and
common.
They all...
They get a lot better, right?
Yeah, they all got better, so... Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'll look into doing that. I'm not saying that I'm not ever going to smoke weed again, but I'm feeling a lot more clarity. I'm experiencing a lot of guilt about things that have happened throughout my last 20 years that I didn't ever really deal with. In my relationships with other people, and I burned so many bridges, you know, and made so many of the wrong choices while I was kind of on this self-destructive path of, you know, and I've dabbled here and there with hard drugs, but none of them ever really stuck, you know, and it's always kind of been my crutch, though, is this go-to, well, I'm just going to, you know, smoke as much weed as I possibly can. I was living in Colorado for like 8 years, so it was really easy.
That's a good place to do it.
yeah. Well, and now that I'm getting clean, I'm having like all these feelings of like remembering shit that I haven't thought about.
Oh, hey now. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. He was getting, you know, a lot of memories and stuff was coming
back
to him. Couldn't remember to not say the S word.
In withdrawal, though, they can even get weird flashbacks and stuff. So he needs to get help. Get help.
Yeah. Good for him. Four weeks, though. I mean,
it's good. It's today. He's sober. It's good.
Nothing to shake a stick at. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Not too bad.
What can we do for you?
My question was to reflect on a sexual situation. I love to give oral sex to my wife.
Good man.
We've been married about 5 years. She refuses to obviously reciprocate.
Why?
Is that a me problem? Is it a her problem? I have no idea.
Well,
I
mean, it depends on how you're asking.
Did she ever reciprocate?
Good question.
Like three times in the last 9 years we've been together.
No, oh, I'm talking about before you were married. Was like ever something she was into and then
before,
stopped?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, before, you know, a few times here and there. And there's a second question with that. When we met, she was shaved and upkept. And now that just has went out the window.
No, no, you can't complain about that. You're probably like everyone when you met. We're all looking our best. That's what you do on first dates.
Yeah, but yeah, you can't complain. If you're married, I mean, you should try to be tip-top shape for your partner, right?
I mean, you should try, but it's just like something that, have you ever gotten waxed?
I think like, yeah, actually I have, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And bleach. I mean, unless she has a fundamental problem with it, like if she's like way into bush, I get it. But like if she's just given up, I don't know. I mean, your wife should not have blown you three times in 9 years. That's not okay. But there's always one thing you got to look out for. If she had some weird trauma around a blowjob, that's the only excuse. But besides that.
Or maybe she just doesn't actually like it.
Yeah, but so what? There's plenty of guys.
You can't just say you don't like it, so what?
Yeah, because, like, listen, if your wife, if you don't like going down on your wife, too bad. You do it.
You can't say that. She can say that to him. Like, what they should do is, like, actually talk instead of, because it's not you, it's not her, it's communication, and you need to talk to her. My advice would be to talk to her and be like, this is actually important to me. I know you might be a sensitive subject and you might get upset or defensive, but let's try and just like actually be as honest as possible together. And
well, there have been honest conversations, and I guess I'm just, you know, I'm confused because, you know, I love doing my part. There's nothing better.
Have you brought this up with her before? I mean, have you talked about it, or is this like you're opening up to us for the first time?
I know we've had many conversations.
And what did she say?
And it just seems like, well, we just have conversations, and then, you know, a week goes by, and it just goes back to square one. You know, it's married life, I'd assume.
No, I'm saying. That's not okay.
Unless she had some trauma around it, right?
You know, as far as I know, no.
Okay.
Either trauma or some girls will just be into oral sex while they're married because they feel like they have to, and then
the shave thing came about after the birth of our child. It just went away. So
yeah, because like weird stuff happens.
All right, dude, you got to talk to her. You have to. Yeah. I mean, this is a bigger issue than like she's allowing you to make it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. One of the stars of the new Showtime docuseries 3 AM is Samantha Acosta. She is our guest this evening, tonight on Loveline.
Loveline. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
This is Dr. Drew for True Car. Everyone is talking about transparency these days, a word you hear a lot, because people want it. So when it comes to making a big purchase, like perhaps buying a new car, you expect some transparency in the buying process. This is a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting the fair deal, right? So you can really look at all the details. To understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app. True Car not only can configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what others actually paid for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code, so right in your area you see the very same car. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent, right? And once you decide on that car, you can lock in guaranteed savings on an average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you're connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without any negotiation, no shenanigans. So when you're ready for a new, transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay, download the TrueCar app today.
Sound.
Mars Volta singer spent $1,000 on weed every week.
Wow.
According to him. Cedric Bixler Zavala, who is now very fat, so I can see how he would be way into weed. He says he spent a grand a week on weed.
That's crazy.
What does his accountant say? That's the best comment ever. Samantha Acosta joins us. She is one of the stars of the new docuseries 3 a.m. about the life of escorts, and she is a former escort.
I'm the only one on there. It's about, there's other cast members on the show that have various other nightlife jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any as interesting as escort?
I mean, it's all relative. There's. Yeah. I'm probably like the least well. I'm definitely the least well known on the show.
What are like some of the examples of other nightlife?
There's a party photographer. Carol was here that like takes photos of girls, champagne facials, and
it's my band name.
So it's a really good band. I loved your single. Fat Jew, who's like an internet celebrity's on it.
Yeah.
And Vashti, who's like a director. She does a lot of cool things.
Okay. You and I were talking during the break that, you know, a lot of your clients were not necessarily looking for sexual interaction. It was mostly, a lot of times it would be non-sexual stuff.
Yeah, and just the business, what surprised me most when I entered the industry, it's not like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. They clients actually want a connection, even if it's just like a one-time thing, or I had clients that I saw for years and years. You know, once a month, or like they come in and out, but they really just wanted some type of intimate connection, whether it was, you know, sexual or just to talk about things that they just didn't feel comfortable or that, or put themselves in a position of vulnerability that they just didn't feel like would
just
be accepted.
They just wanted intimacy, like you said. Mm-hmm. It was just that connection.
Intimacy and acceptance.
Which makes way more sense to me than paying for sex, you know, mm-hmm.
There's Tinder for that.
But is it? Exactly. Is that illegal? I know that's a weird question, but like you can't get busted, right, for hanging out with a guy and talking with him.
No. I mean, police officers might, but I've never been in that position.
Right.
What would they bust you for hanging out and talking?
I'm not exactly sure.
Because don't they have to wait for you to actually do something illegal? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know how it is. It can also be like, you know, the assumption or something.
Sure.
And a lot of times, I mean, it will be to like, oh, you live in a house of ill repute. So like, even if like you're there, but like some other girl does something, but like if you're there.
So
like,
people
try
to moralize with you. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
It's a very big moral thing.
Oh my God. That surprises me. Like, I'm not shocked at all that dudes would pay to do non-sexual stuff. I see, like, I can totally empathize with the desire to just be intimate with someone in a non-sexual way, just to have a real connection, have someone hug you even, and just, you know, when you feel lonely.
Have someone, like, listen and interact, but, like, and interact with you that can't really, no one else is going to hear what, like, ever find out what you said.
What about, like, how, what's the demo typically of a guy who's reaching out for an escort? Is it older guys, married guys, or is it a lot of times like horny college dudes, or is it
I mean, it can be all over the board, but I mean it was usually more like maybe like late 20s to mid 40s, with like, you know, I would say about 35-40 the median mostly.
Did you ever have a hard time with people, customers, wanting more of a non-professional relationship with you?
Oh yeah, but I was always very like, and I think this is part of the reason why I never really had any negative experiences, is I was very clear on boundaries. So as soon as they started doing that, I was just like, that's not appropriate. And like, I get guys on Twitter now like messaging me or like just constantly commenting and being like, too bad I didn't know you when you were like an escort,
right?
And I'm just like, that doesn't mean I would, like, one, that doesn't necessarily mean I would see you, two,
yeah,
like, that's still crossing a boundary.
How did you manage to have a healthy personal life while you were working with that professional life? I mean, did it ever kind of inhibit you from having a...
I mean, I still dated and I had monogamous, or like emotionally monogamous relationships.
And were you open with the guys you were dating?
Yeah. Oh, you have to be. Like, if it's just like, it wasn't until like it was, you know, getting
maybe this could go somewhere. But yeah. No, you have to be, just because you build a relationship on any line, but especially one like that.
It's honesty. Yeah. And were dudes typically pretty cool with it, or did some guys trip?
It's cool till they're not cool. Because, you know, at first it's the whole like porn star fantasy, like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then like the reality can set in and just be like, oh, she's just like in her
pajamas.
She's
a normal person. Yeah,
normal person. And like, oh my God, like she's doing this or whatever. And I don't know. And I think sometimes it was like hard to actually realize that, yeah, like this is my job, but it's just my job. Like I like to leave my job at home and like come back to you.
The female friends I have that were in exotic dancing, and I know it's a totally different field, but they always complained to me that they had a hard time looking at men the same way after they worked in an industry where they kind of blurred the lines between, you know, and did you ever suffer from that? Do you ever look at me, have a hard time seeing men the same, with the same reverence?
I don't know anyone else that has had this, and I know it sounds like BS, but for me, it actually kind of made me more trusting. Not like of men specifically, but just of relationships and people, just because you hear all these horror stories of like, man, you're only going to see like rapists and murderers and could be pimped out. Yeah. And I had pleasant experiences with a lot, both with other girls in the industry who like we're a support system, and clients who just, you know, I would have never met in real life. Like, you know, it's a CEO I'm meeting with, and like he's like telling me his life story, and in a way that's not just like, yeah, I'm so great, but actually like revealing and intimate.
What are the main kind of pitfalls of the job? Like if you were to talk to a girl who's getting into the industry, she's going to be an escort,
I would not talk to her because I would be pandering. But if I was just going to say my personal experiences,
right, like what should you look out for to make sure that you do have, like you said,
number
kind of
one,
uniformly positive experiences?
One is you have to be okay with people finding out, because I mean, I was open with all my friends, but it did take, you know, a little, it was a slow process of some people knowing, then more and more. And, you know, no one really cared, but you just have to be okay with people knowing. And you have to have self-discipline, because a big thing that people don't realize, at least, and I was really lucky and like privileged to be in this position, but I was running like a business, like, you have to be disciplined enough to pay taxes and quarterly taxes and work on marketing and advertising and scheduling.
Did you have to launder the money? How do you pay taxes? I mean, like,
I put it in the bank, and then every quarter I go to my account and say, how much you get to make me cry, and then write him a check.
I'm not by any means like a financial wizard, but I, like, when you put on your taxes, what do you put for your occupation?
Entertainer.
Really? And
yeah.
And they don't investigate any further?
I mean, I've never had that. I don't, anything I put in, I, just because the one thing, I don't care what business you're in, you don't want to mess with the IRS.
Sure.
But I had like I have an accountant that actually specifically works with escorts, because she knew, because there's a whole,
that's
like,
rad.
Yeah, there's multiple, like there's a whole industry, just because it's hard to find people that are willing to work with us.
Sure, it's illegal. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's a flat out, it's an illegal industry.
It's a legal gray area.
Is it really?
I mean, just ask what I would get arrested for just talking with the dude.
Oh, but believe me, I'm not moralizing here. I'm not saying it should or shouldn't be, but it is, it's still illegal.
But in the eyes of the IRS, I don't really think they care, unless, as long as you pay your taxes. And I put all my money in the bank and
taxes. It's not like drug dealing, right? Where they really care. I mean, where they give an S, you know?
I mean, I don't know that. I never like looked on the other side, just because I didn't want,
what do you care?
I didn't want to test the limits of that.
Samantha Acosta is our guest. She is one of the stars of the new Showtime docuseries 3 AM. She's a former escort. And in honor of her being here, we want to know on the open forum, have you ever engaged in purchasing an escort? And we want to hear about your experience. That is the open forum for you right now here on Loveline.
Loveline.
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Film Vault.
Film Vault, Anderson. People need to know. The people need to know.
They need to know.
Know this. We do a show called The Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for The Film Vault, a weekly discussion of movies new and old.
Big and tiny.
Movies you may have missed, movies you shouldn't miss, and everything in between.
Check it out every single week. The Film Vault on Podcast One.
That's O-N-E.
So, whoops, Jason's ass.
Wow.
1-800-LOVE-191. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the point of the show where you, the audience, take over with your experience, with your opinions, with your ideas. It is called the Open Forum.
It's time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's Open Forum.
We are joined by, pardon me, Paul Flemmy. We are joined by Samantha Acosta. She is a former escort who now stars in the Showtime docuseries 3AM. In honor of her being here, we want to know, have you ever hired an escort? And how did it work out for you? Real quick, before we get to the calls, Samantha, how prevalent was it for women to hire you?
I got like one or two requests, but they all just kind of seemed jokey because I'd still be like, send me your screening information.
Mm-hmm.
And usually then the only other time would be like couples looking.
Yeah, I was just saying, how about that? Is that like
but
a big thing?
A lot of times it just wouldn't come to like, wouldn't like actually happen. It would just be like, you know, a couple late at night drunk. And I'm like, I'm not going to see you like super late when you guys have obviously been like partying all night.
Right.
How about Jason Biggs and his wife? Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. Like, how about you call me in the morning and we'll see. And
That's probably a very good outlook on it. Hello, John. Ironic name.
Hey, how you doing? You guys live.
You live.
Yeah, I just decided to use the name because it's the most common name we use in the business. I've been on both ends of it. I've been on the, you know, hire an escort, and now I run an escort service.
Do you really?
And it's a really gray area when it comes to taxes. And the gray area comes with how the girls present themselves, if they know the job and how to get around and make sure they don't get busted if they're going to be full service. I got girls that work for me that aren't full service, and they make more money than some of the girls that are full service.
No, what does that mean? Like, when you say not full service, what do they do then?
They're strippers, basically. They just, you know, give shows, and okay. They don't do any physical contact or touch them.
Okay.
Interesting.
And you said you've been on both sides of it. How, what drew you to do that? Seek out, you know, an escort as a customer.
I think
as a customer, it was just the partying days, and then I slowly got into it with some girls I met that worked at a strip club, and they wanted an escort, a bodyguard for mm-hmm. their shows to make sure that they didn't get, you know, harmed or hurt or anything like that, or nobody ripped them off. And I slowly got in the business that way. So,
can I ask a question?
Of course.
What do you do to like make sure the girls are safe? Just because I was always independent. Sure. And
personally,
a lot of agencies.
I have bodyguards, and most of the girls, I have a few girls that they don't want anybody to go with them. They feel they can handle themselves, but the girls that do, I have guys that I hire, and they escort the girls to the rooms or the private residences, and they wait outside, and the girls have them on speed dial, and they collect the money for the girls so the girls don't have the money on them and they can't get ripped off, and they just make sure that they get in and out of the room safely, and they check in with them every hour.
That's
okay.
Weird.
And, I gotta thank you for the call, John. How many people in the business? I don't know. It's probably speculation, but what about like the idea of like pimps and stuff? Is that just
That's kind of the movies? He was,
yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, maybe he's just that guy because I've seen that like even at bachelor parties stuff. There's always the.
I mean, there's some,
the
but
tough
there's
guy
a lot
that
of...
goes with you just so that you don't guys don't get too grabby.
I mean, because there's always guys that are like, do you want a bodyguard?
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, it can always be different and it's what people want, but just in my experience, like they always like want like a 50-50 cut or something like that. And
you were never scared?
I mean, no. I mean,
cause that does seem like a dicey idea, like going to strange men's places.
Yeah. There's times I was scared, but not because of the job, but because as a woman, I, you know, walking down a street late at night, you have to be scared. Like, going on a random OkCupid or Tinder date, you're going to be scared.
No, that's true.
But, so it was a lot of the same.
I would say the same thing to, like, I say the same thing to girls who call up and they say, like, oh, I met this guy off Tinder and I met him at a hotel room. I'm always like, that's pretty daring. Yeah. Like, that's gutsy.
I mean, and with clients, I would screen them. So I would know their full name. I would know where they work. I would know where they live. Like, and I would verify. Like, you can't just be like, yo, my name's Joe Blow.
Yeah.
Like, so I would be able to verify and references.
Right.
So
right.
They saw, yeah, we took references. So there, I had a. So not only can you verify their identity, but you can be like,
if you could flick a switch tomorrow, and the industry would be legal in this country, would you make it legal for that reason?
No, I would decriminalize it because legalization, I feel, could maybe encourage it for the wrong reasons with people.
So what's the difference?
Decriminalization, I think, is more helpful to victims because it would basically they get busted. They get busted and instead of getting a record or getting arrested, instead we could actually focus on rehabilitation or, God forbid, they actually are in a situation of like coercion that
so it's
they
like,
don't
it'd
like
be,
have a record now.
It'd be like small amounts of drug possession. Like,
yeah,
so it's not,
exactly
okay.
Like that.
Okay,
which,
all right.
And I think I like it that way too because it resources that would be spent on so much, like changing so many laws, could actually be spent on helping victims.
Okay, no, that makes a lot of sense. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hey, you used to hire female escorts?
Yes, I have.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
Are you a lesbian?
No, I'm bisexual.
Nice. Is this Tupperware, Kathleen?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God, there Kathleen. It is. There it is.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you kind of were an escort.
Yeah, I know. That's why I did. I told her on the phone. I'm a former escort, and I've hired escorts.
Nice.
Did you hire before you became one?
No.
You hired after you became one?
Mm-hmm.
While you were in the business?
Yeah.
It happens.
Wouldn't I feel like you'd get free pussy.
Not necessarily.
Wow.
No.
Kathleen, you're not your normal upbeat
self.
Yeah,
you seem very down.
Are you okay?
Oh, no. I'm hoping this call, that what I'm in a kind of a area where the calls drop. I just don't want it to drop, so I'm trying not to move my phone.
How do you like it when you hire? As someone who has worked in the industry, how did you like hiring people?
I liked it. It was kind of fun. I mean, I lucked out because I did my research and I got, you know, I had some good experiences, but if you don't do your research, you know, you could end up with a bad experience.
Do you have commonly have sexual experiences with women outside of the industry?
Yes.
Nice.
What does a bad experience mean?
I would imagine violence, right?
No. You know, not always.
Like girls that don't do what they, you know, just bad customer service. Yeah, girls that
not into it.
Not into it, don't look like their pictures, you know, just all kind of bait and switch, all kinds of, you know.
Bait and switch is when they use fake pics and then a different girl shows up.
Yeah, it's like dating. It's Instagram.
All right, Kathleen, thanks as always.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
God, that's a...
No, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you want, just because, well, especially, you know, with, like, couples, I could totally see you wanting to get an escort because... How often, like, you risk, you know, it's just some girl and like,
I always
your wife
recommend
drunk.
It. I always,
yeah,
when,
like, they're going to actually, like, be into it.
When couples call up and they're like, we're looking to bring in another part, I'm always like, this is what
it's not,
I think an escort's designed for. It's, like, perfect opportunity.
We're not going to try and break up your marriage.
Right.
We're going to be there for both of you.
Yeah. I'm totally.
Station ID.
Oh, yes. Dr. Drew is right. It is time for a quick 30-second break. We have our guest, Samantha Acosta, a former escort, joining us this evening. And in honor of her, we are in the middle of an open forum where we want to know if you have ever hired an escort. We want to hear about it right now on Loveline.
To give us your opinions and insight, here's tonight's open forum.
She is a former escort, Samantha Acosta, and she now stars in the docuseries on Showtime Thursday nights at 11 p.m. The show is called 3 a.m. And in honor of her being here, we want to know, have you ever hired an escort? We'd like to hear about your experience.
Look at the line 8 or 9, whatever that is. Nine.
Let's see. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I've been doing this hiring for 10 years, and it's become a bad addiction, to be honest with you. I really would like to stop. I've tried, and it's really hard. It's ruined my marriage.
Oh, man.
How have you tried? Because I do know that that can be a big problem in the industry, and it just kind of becomes a compulsion almost. Like, how have you actually tried?
I don't really know really how to go about it. I've just tried cold turkey. Just, hey, I'm going to stop. You know, I've given myself like a time period. Like, I'm not going to do it for a month.
But that didn't
work. I'll get nervous and anxiety and weird feelings.
Yeah, yeah. There's a withdrawal. There's a withdrawal from this, just like any other addiction. So let me refer you to a website. It's centerforhealthysex.com, and they specialize in treating this stuff. It's a common thing. Okay. A lot of people have it. But you got to go get some specialized treatment. But people know how to handle it.
This is a question, I think, for everyone. For you, Jason, for Samantha, and for Drew. Mm. What is addicting about it above and beyond just being addicted to sex? Is there something addicting about the process of getting an escort that is addicting more so than just having sex with people?
Well, for me, it's like any kind of high. When I feel that nervous feeling when I'm about to call someone or I'm about to see someone, it's a weird nervous, like almost like winning at gambling. You know, you get this high feeling.
Right. Non addicts don't get that feeling.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, so Jason's been addicted to other things before the sex.
Because I can totally relate with.
Yes.
I loved the idea of going to get cocaine just as much as I did
addicts,
just doing cocaine.
Yeah. Cocaine addicts are the ones that get this whole syndrome of procurement and making the call, the deal, and all stuff, and getting high from that part of it, and the anticipation, all that. And sex is another one where that goes. But there is a withdrawal. People, if you've never seen real sex addiction, it has a withdrawal.
Crazy,
it's for real. Yeah. And again, there's specialists that treat it, and Center for Healthy Sex here in Los Angeles, centerforhealthysex.com, has got tons of information and some really high quality professionals there that treat this successfully.
What were you going to say, Samantha?
I was going to say basically that, and it's not just necessarily even about the sex. It's just
the process.
It's just a complete addiction, and I bet that the sex doesn't actually matter to him.
Yeah.
It's the feeling before.
Well, I bet it's a factor.
No, the sex matters.
It's a factor.
But it's all part of it.
It's just like I was saying with cocaine. I certainly definitely want cocaine.
Yeah.
But the ride to get it, and just when the guy used to pick up the phone and I knew he was home and he was holding, and I had money, and I was like, it was the whole process, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's talk to another John. Ironically. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. How are you?
It's going all right. Thought your today's show was kind of interesting. I have hired a few escorts myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly in calls. I don't like to do the out calls.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
In calls, basically, you go to their place. Out calls, they go to your place.
Oh, okay.
Why is that different? Why is that really different?
What?
Because, like, if you're married or have someone at home or just don't know the girl, you'd rather go to their
place. Even, like, neighbors and stuff, you know, things like that. Just, I don't know, I just feel more comfortable going to their place and so having someone that even maybe that I haven't met yet come over.
Okay.
I've had some great experiences, but I just recently had a bad experience. If that's the one I kind of wanted to share for today.
Yes, please.
I was visiting some family members, decided to look at, see if there's any escorts in that area. And, like I said, so far I had, had really good experiences all around and, called this escort. It was kind of weird because there wasn't a lot of screening. I thought that was kind of weird, but
screening is kind of. And screenings, yeah, screen. I was saying of like getting their name and everything.
Yeah, just figuring out you're not any type of law enforcement or anything like that. So, But I thought, what the heck, you know, this is probably different here in this area. And anyway, show up at the door, go upstairs, kind of just do the whole routine and just placing the donation on a table. And, you know, she says, oh, well, you know, get undressed, la, la, la. I'll be right back. And, you know, comes back and then says, you know, starts, you know, doing a little light massage and whatnot. And then pretty much says, well, I just want to let you know what's on the menu and how much it's going to be. I'm like, what the heck? What do you mean? Like, I already dropped like 160 or whatever it was, 180 or something like that. And she goes, oh, no, that's just for like a happy ending, basically. And I'm like, really? It was like 180 for just a tug. I was like, that's.
So she upsold you?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and she's telling me, you know, how much more it's going to be for the full service kind of a thing. And, you know, I got pretty upset. You know, I was just like, you know what? I don't know if I, you know, want to even go through this. I told her, you know what? I think I'm just going to want my refund. I'm just going to leave. I mean, it's just the beginning of it. Nothing happened. I haven't even touched you. So, she goes, it's going to be $100 refund fee or something like that. So basically, I was just going to get like 60, 80 bucks or whatever back. At that point, you know, she's telling me, nah, just go through with it. We'll have
fun. So what ended up happening?
Anyways, long story short. Yeah.
No, please. Impossible. Please. Not true at all.
Go ahead.
I tell her, you know what, I'm too pissed off to probably even enjoy a hand job right now. I told her, I'm just going to, you know, get my refund and go. And she goes, okay, then hold on. I start getting dressed, I get changed, and, you know, meet her downstairs. And as, you know, I see the money in her hand, and then I see her looking upstairs, and I see her kind of talking to someone. I can't see who's upstairs. And I'm guessing it's the pimp that comes downstairs, you know, and kind of doesn't have a very friendly look. Doesn't have a friendly look, you know, and he goes, you know, hey, what's the problem? You know, what's going on?
Well, I mean, that situation
happened.
It's
only a two-hour show. I'm sorry. I got to this. I'm done.
Yeah.
I've actually been aged by him talking. Jesus, age
yeah,
Christ.
You know,
here's
like
how that story
quiet.
Should have been told. I went in. They upsold me. I wanted my money back. They wouldn't give it back. Some big dude came after me. Yeah. That's the story. I don't want to hear about.
That's how it is with clients.
But I don't want to hear that you saw the money in her hand and it was slightly crinkled. It's like, I don't need to hear that.
That's how it is with your clients, but they pay you.
I know.
So I'm not going to listen to him. If he gave me 160 bucks, I'd listen all night.
I think he just probably wanted someone to just be like, oh, no, man, it's not your fault. When, hey, if a girl doesn't scream, something's up.
That's Chad, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Chad.
Hi. So, yeah, I hired an escort one time. I was in Washington in the military. And
Washington State or Washington,
well,
D.C.?
Yes, Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when everything was done, everything went smooth. I was getting ready to leave. There was a knock on the door. She opens the door of the hotel room, and two big guys with guns, federal marshals, are standing there pointing
in.
Oh,
whoa!
And, yeah, it was
federal marshals?
Yeah, there was. The local law enforcement there were coordinating with the FBI and the marshals, U.S.
Oh,
marshals.
Oh, because you were military.
No, it wasn't even that.
They'll
I was
just trying to bust
the wrong girl at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
They were watching the room trying to find a guy who was like trafficking underage girls or something.
Oh,
and,
dude,
it was completely uninvolved, unrelated. But no, they ended up getting me, and I had to it was a book and release. So I was out. You know, back to my chain of command and everything, and it was just a rough.
Did you get incident? Were there any consequences in the military for that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was NJP, non-judicial punishment. I was put on restriction, had some pay withheld, but it was kept at low enough a level where I wasn't reduced in rank or anything like that. It
gotcha.
Was basically for failure to obey a lawful order. That's what they got me with.
Gotcha.
But,
all right, dude. Well, thank you for sharing the story. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so
I'm glad you didn't get in too much trouble. Joining us this evening is Samantha Acosta, and in honor of her, we are wondering if you've ever hired an escort, because she is a former escort. Hello, Rafa.
Hey, hi.
What's happening?
Yeah, I hired an escort. I hired a couple, actually. It was a guy and a girl.
At one time?
And
At one time?
That was their offer, guy and a girl. And, at that time, I was a little bit curious, and when I got there, you know, I got undressed. She went down on me. I started fingering her, and sweet. I asked for a finger in the butt.
Sweet.
And I did not enjoy that. So
wait. But now, when you say hold on, when you say you asked for a finger in the butt, were you asking for a male finger in your butt or a female?
Like the girl. The girl. Finger.
No, yes. No. Whoa. Not true.
No.
Finger is not a finger. I'm a big fan of butt play, mm-hmm. receiving, but I would know very quickly if there was a man's finger in my butt.
Wait, hold up. I'm not done. Okay. So that was the first time I did that, and I did not enjoy that. And then, so we continued to switch something else. She was bent over a table, and the guy proceeded to mount her from behind, and she continued to give me oral, and she tried, but I never got hard throughout the entire time. And
are you gay now?
Yeah, no.
Hmm.
But I actually tried for the first time also a penis, you know, sucking a penis, and I did not enjoy that either. So.
It wasn't
a great night for me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound at all very fun.
But at least now you know.
Yeah. And it was with a non-threatening group of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be really whack if you got drunk with your buddies and you're like, hey, let's try some bi-curious stuff. Mm. Samantha, it has been a pleasure talking to you.
Me too.
Really enjoyed it. 3 a.m. is the new docuseries on Showtime. It airs at Thursday nights at 11 p.m. on Showtime, as I said. Is there any website or Twitter account or anything I can lead people to as far as your
sure.
photography work and your podcast, all
yeah.
that stuff?
My website's my name, SamanthaAcosta.com, and my Twitter is RealSamAcosta.
Okay.
Instagram's RealSamAcosta as well.
There you go. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Now we will take your calls regarding whatever you want right here on Loveline.
Look, Mommy! What's that up in the sky?
Oh, that's just Dr. Drew. He's always been up there.
More love lines still to come.
Hallelujah!
All right, here's a question for you. Would you listen to a podcast featuring a comedian and a magician?
Nope.
Of course not. Nobody would. That's why we locked that comedian and magician in a room with a burlesque queen.
Yes!
Because we're pretty sure even if it's awkwardly horrible, it's gonna be funny.
I'm Fraser Smith.
And I'm Jim Bentley.
And our co-host, Harper Rose.
We might take comedy seriously, yeah. folks, but we don't take ourselves too seriously.
And of course, there's nothing funnier than a good dose of low self-esteem.
We're idiots.
Yes, we are.
You see? That's funny.
An astute observation has led to laughter.
We want to invite you to laugh with us as we bring you the Fraser and Bentley podcast.
And if that's not reason enough to listen, check this out.
Hi, I'm John Lovitz, and I'm proud to be the first guest.
Oh, man, might be a funny overload. Burlesque girl, finish it out for us.
Be sure to look for our show every Wednesday, only on Podcast One. That's podcastone.com.
That would be way sexier if you could actually see her.
Bring on the fun bags.
Yay!
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Our phones seem to be working quite well tonight. Samantha Costa was our guest. Samantha Costa, rather. Thursday's 11 p.m. The show is 3 a.m. And we're going to get your calls here. Let me see. Let's talk to... I don't have this person's name. Well, let's go to it. Hi there, line two. What's going on? Chicago. Do I hit this one or that one?
I usually hit this one. There you go.
There we go. Try again. You on the air?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, now. Go ahead.
First of all, I just want to say you guys both live.
You live! What's up?
Matt and Mike, you live, man. I just want to say, Drew, man, I've been listening to you for 15 years since I was 10 years old.
Oh!
I want to say you're an inspiration to me, and both my folks work in the adolescent health world.
Cool.
Professionally.
All right.
See, since I've been 10 years old, man, I've been challenging them on what their feelings are, which is, I mean, granted, they're very progressive, you know, up to date with what they know. But, you know, I would like to think that they're more up to date because of you guys and what I've had to say because of what you guys have said. So I just want to say thank you, first of all.
Our pleasure. Well
Thanks,
done,
dude.
Well
very
done.
Nice of you. Appreciate it.
What's going on?
Drew, I got a question for you. I consider myself a straight male. I am 24 years old. I've had two wonderful relationships that I've been a part of. I have had erectile dysfunction as part of both of them. I have taken Viagra or, you know, illegal substances, but essentially Viagra through India, just ordering illegally, in some capacity to maintain these relationships. And I would like to know, like, what exactly I do about this. I do have a, I guess, arguably a mild history of sexual trauma, but I'd like to understand exactly what this means and what I do about it.
Well, you need a diagnosis first. Are you there? We just lost him.
He's dead.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here.
Yeah, we need to know why. What your diagnosis is. It's like saying, I have a fever. I take Tylenol, I have a fever. What do I do for it? Well, all you've described is a fever so far. Erectile dysfunction is not a diagnosis. It's a symptom. So we got to figure out what your diagnosis is that's causing that symptom. Is it
all? Well, I've actually gone to the doctor, and they haven't diagnosed me with anything. You know, I don't have low T. I've taken the whole strap T thing to your I use the correct anatomy here. You know, strap the thing to your penis, and, you know, there's no issues in terms of nocturnal erections. I'm not sure that's the medical term.
Yeah, nocturnal tumescence. So fine. So that means that it is a psychological or psychiatric problem. And now, have you seen someone from mental health?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, that would be the next move to find out what's going on here. And it may be all post-trauma related. You know, I don't know what exactly the issue is.
It's pretty minor. I was about, I don't know, 10 years old maybe, and I was in New Zealand, and a guy I was supposed to share a bed with who was a few years older than me, well, excuse me for being a little bit apprehensive mentioning it, but I suppose I'm on the radio now, so I should. But essentially, he said, you know, let me touch you. He touched me. I was below the age of consent, arguably. You know, I think he'd side with me. Side with me here, Drew, in the sense that I can't consent if I'm below the age. Essentially, you know, we touched each other, and that was it, and I was aroused.
So you had overt childhood sexual abuse. So, fine. I know you're minimizing it, but that's overt sexual abuse. And so you need to get that treated. It's having an effect in your life to this day, and it's affecting your sexual functioning. Now, the treatment may be the Viagra. I mean, there might be ways of just treating the sexual dysfunction component. That may be all that's necessary, but that's overt childhood sexual abuse.
At the same time, Drew, I understand what you're saying, and I've listened to the show enough to understand that what you're saying is absolutely reasonable.
And every trauma survivor says, oh, it's nothing, I don't think about it, it's no big deal. It's compartmentalized. It's long, wired, disengaged from your emotional regulatory system, and it needs to be reintegrated in with the rest of your conscious and emotional regulatory apparatus. Like every trauma survivor, it's not a problem. I got over it. No big deal. That's the nature of trauma. It's still affecting you. That's why you're calling me.
Absolutely. And I absolutely appreciate your input. And Drew, I want you to understand that I've had this problem since I first had sex. I mean, like, the first couple times were fantastic, and obviously sex, you know.
You were abused when you were a little child.
Man, have you
seen what a 10-year-old looks like?
Dude, a 10-year-old's a baby.
It's a third grader, fourth grader. It's a child. They don't do sexual things unless an adult abuses them or
if
other
you have
children.
True, thank you. If you have a single incidence of traumatic experience, which I don't know if that's a clinical term, but if you have a single experience of clinical, like, traumatic experience, I mean, does that mean you are gay? I mean,
what are you talking about, gay? How did you go from trauma to sexual orientation? So there's something in your head about that, because that wasn't even anywhere near what I was thinking about. So,
Drew, I'd love to explain it because, you know, if I get aroused sometimes, you know, when it comes to my own personal preferences, you know, I sometimes like straight porn, lesbian porn, anything.
It's common for sexual abuse of children to spin your sexual orientation to make it very confusing. Yes, that's very common.
I'm very terrified about.
I'm so sorry. But go get the treatment, for God's sakes. You've got to get the treatment. And any words like terrified tell me you need the treatment.
Let's talk to a teen mom. Not one from MTV, but
no.
Hello, Tatiana.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You live. Thanks. So I'm calling in. I was a teen mom, 24 now. My daughter's just about 6. I lived at my mom's house when she was born. For about 4 months with her dad. And my mom was very helpful. She did everything for me. I was pretty non into being a mom at the time. I wanted to party with my friends, go out and stuff. So she was always there for me, watch the kid. And then ever since I moved out after she was 4 months old, and then she's almost 6 now, and my mom has this, she has a great relationship with my daughter. My daughter loves her to death, but she has this overwhelming feeling that she has more control over my daughter than what I think would be appropriate. So I'm trying to figure out whether I'm too hard on her, or if like I should let her have this relationship with her. Or
you need to give us an example of what you're talking about. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so I go to her house and she babies her. She tells me in front of her that I shouldn't be doing this, that I should be doing that, and my daughter just loves her, so she listens to her saying, like, you know, I say, you know, babe, you can't do this, like, you know, you have to eat this before that. She says, no, you know, this is how it should be, this is how it should be.
All and right, then, so you have to pull your mom aside, and you have to say, look, there's no dad here, we are the parents. Thank you for having been the mom when I wasn't old enough to have been one. But right now we have to have a unified front. We cannot split. We cannot let the child split us, because that creates an internal psychological split that is terribly destructive for this child's development. So let's you and I agree now what it is that we're going to do for things like whatever the issues are at hand that she's been splitting against. And let's stand together in these things. Let's work on this together.
I have multiple times. I've talked to her, taken her aside, called her on the phone when I'm not with her, and I say, Mom, you need to understand that I'm the parent here.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. I said, we're the parent, because there's no dad. We are the parents, and we need to be united in all things and not allow the child to split us. So if there are things that we disagree upon, you and I should discuss it later or after, but when we're in the moment, we need to back each other up. That's parenting 101.
All right.
And thank you, Mom, for having done so much parenting when I was a teenager, and I wasn't ready for it.
Thank you for the call. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey there.
I'm calling in on behalf of myself and my girlfriend. She asked me to give you guys a call and ask for some advice. I'm too big for her, and it causes her quite a bit of pain when we have... She says I really ram into her cervix and cause her a lot of cramps. And I'm wondering if we should do it less, if we should do it more, and if we do it more, maybe she'll adjust and accommodate.
No,
I
don't think that works.
Doesn't
that
work
way.
Like that.
I have a very small penis, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
Did you hear Amy Schumer talking about this today?
I did not.
She was with a hockey player, and she looked at his... what he had.
No, an NHL hockey player.
Yeah. And went, nope, sorry, go home.
Yeah, that's not happening inside my...
That's what she said. Daniel, David, has this happened with anybody else before?
You know what? I'm, for religious reasons, she's the first woman I've ever been with.
Okay.
So I haven't had any other issues.
All right, and when was her last pelvic exam?
A year ago.
And how long have you guys been having sex?
Almost 3 years.
And the entire 3 years, there's been this discomfort.
Yeah.
Powerful.
And did she discuss it with the doctor when she was in there a year ago?
She did.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong anatomically. There's nothing wrong from an infection standpoint. If that's the case, then you guys need to work on positions that don't hurt her, and you need to pay attention. That's all.
Okay.
That's very simple.
Yeah.
You don't have to
stop destroying her.
Yeah. You let her tell you what
so
what's,
jealous
where you're right, what's what you need, what the zone is. Find a position that works in that zone. If you're guys only doing one position, then you need to mix it up. You need to find something that does not hurt
okay.
her.
She has a concern. She said it's also about the girth, too.
Okay.
And,
that doesn't change anything about what we just said.
Will she stretch out?
No.
Like she's
no.
Hey, didn't I? We just no. said, we said at the beginning of this phone call, Dick.
No, that
clean
does
the
not,
wax out of your ears.
That does not happen.
People, do you understand babies come out of vaginas? And I know that most people listening,
however, but
whether or not they have children, haven't seen that. I did.
And to be fair,
and it gets big.
Over. And to be fair, now there's some women that just can't tolerate certain size and girth and size.
Sure.
It's just uncomfortable.
But no woman adjusts.
And that can be a deal breaker, but it's not as though you damage her permanently. No.
You know, or does she, like, it's not like a piston.
No.
It doesn't, like, auger out a vagine.
You can sort of really harm them way up inside. That can be kind of unpleasant when you're hitting the viscera. The
I'm
organs.
So jealous of this.
Yeah.
No one, I've never had this problem. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Love line. We'll be right back.
It is possible to establish communication instantaneously from any place at any time.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hi, it's Heather McDonald. Please join me for my podcast, Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, because you know how much I love a Juicy Scoop. Besides talking about the hottest topics that intrigue me, I am also going to have great guests join me. Shannon Bedore on The Real Housewives of OC, telling us everything about what is going on with her life, as well as hilarious Chris Frangiola, who is my coworker and good friend from Chelsea lately. So please join us.
Yay! Download a new episode every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, buddy. You know what? Suck my balls. Hello, John. That's all.
Hello?
I just like to anyone who's listening, suck my balls.
Did you hear the music like fade out?
Yeah.
Like,
perfect. All right, what's up there, John?
Hello?
Yes, hey. Sir. All righty.
All right. Hi. My question is, well, in my family, I've noticed a lot of the marriages are either like failed or divorce marriages.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, when I get older and get married, why to be more likely to have a failed marriage?
More likely to what?
Not a bad question.
Will you be more likely to end it?
To have a failed marriage.
Yeah. It is a little bit more predictive, but you can, A, marry somebody who comes from a stable family, so she'll be less likely to be willing to engage in divorce, and then commit to yourself that divorce will be not an option under any circumstances. And it's possible to keep pushing on through without considering divorce even. Okay?
Can I weigh in here?
Go ahead.
Do you mind? Of course.
And also wait to get married.
Drew's right. Here's the thing. I think that the better option would be to just make damn sure you marry the right woman.
And make sure you're ready to be
instead
married.
Of like being like, divorce is not an option, blah, blah, blah. Just really, really, really work very hard and be very patient and disciplined in making sure you... Or get on a go-kart.
The hell's that?
Jesus Christ. What is going on, John?
Oh, I don't know. Sorry about that.
All right. You're done.
Second. Pick up.
I did tell him to suck my balls. Hello, Max, buddy. Max?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi. Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller, so just wanted to say hey.
Thanks, buddy.
I know.
Basically, for the last couple years, since I've broken up with this girlfriend that I was with for a couple of years, I haven't been able to not think about her. It's gotten to the point where I'm dreaming about her. I'm having these weird sexual fantasies about her, and no matter who I get with or what I try to do, I can't seem to get her out of my head. It's almost become like an obsession, and it's driving me crazy.
Wow.
I don't know what to do.
Any chance you can get her back?
Unfortunately not. I really wish, and part of me has been tempted to show up on her door and try to talk to her.
Nope.
But
don't do that.
Well, I mean, if there's any chance. But
yeah, she kind of hates me, and I don't, you know, I don't think it would be a good idea either.
Why does she hate you?
Well, you know, to put a long story short, basically we had a bit of a falling out at the end of our relationship. I said some things on Facebook, posted some things on Facebook on her wall that didn't exactly pan well with her.
Like what?
So she, it's been a couple of years, but I mean, basically stuff of, you know, calling her a whore, and, you know, I was really upset because we were together 3 years, and then after, like, it's not even 24 hours after we broke up, she was already in a relationship with some other guy, and it just, I don't know why, but my ego or whatever couldn't handle that, and I just, you know, called her a bunch of horrible things that I ended up regretting, and I don't feel good about it at all, and all I really want is to just not think about her. I want to be able to move on, and I haven't been able to do that.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, if there's no possibility of getting back, it really is just a matter of trying to stay focused on finding new people and engaging and worrying about your life and taking care of yourself properly, all that good stuff. And like any other loss, you will get over it. But I don't know. Otherwise,
years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I got to admit.
I think to me speaks to the bigger problem in that, you know, it's not 3 months. 3 years is
it's a long time. But
it's pretty concerning.
But did it come back suddenly?
It's been kind of sporadic at times. I mean, I'll go sometimes a few, like a month or so, and I won't think about her, and I'll be okay. I mean, I've dated other people. I've had sex. I've had other partners. And nothing seems to wipe her away from my mind like other girlfriends.
Well,
and
you're approaching stalking status, right?
No. I even shut off my Facebook. I won't go near her. I think about her all the time. I can't stop thinking about her.
I understand. You're approaching stalking. That's what comes next.
I don't want to be.
I understand. And so you either can get a handle on this and start taking care of yourself and start engaging in life and in other people, or it's time to get some help with this.
All right.
Okay. I mean, this is what stalkers do. They're preoccupied and think about somebody every day, and eventually they start snooping around a little bit and thinking and, you know, checking things, and whether it's, you know, social media stalking or actual physically stalking, that's all the same phenomenon.
And that's, yeah. I mean, I haven't been near her at all. It's just one morning I'll wake up and she'll be
dude,
in my dreams or she'll be
dude,
in my head.
What
dude.
Did I just say? Approaching
yeah.
stalking behavior. Not there yet,
okay.
but approaching it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. All right.
All right.
Thank you, dude.
Let's get on this.
Let's see here. Let's talk to Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Mike and Dr. Drew. How are you guys doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll start off on a good note. Today marks 2 years and 10 months of sobriety.
Oh, nice, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Going through a bit of a tough time. I lost my father on... my dad died on Father's Day.
This year?
This year.
Holy mackerel. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
He was... I originally lived down in Florida. I came up for Father's Day. All my three brothers and I were to have spent Father's Day with my dad. And he was on his motorcycle in front of us.
How can we help tonight?
Okay. The issue at hand is that he got hit by a drunk driver right in front of me. And... I don't know how to handle it.
Well, I don't know if you're supposed to handle that well. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's something you're supposed to handle. That's kind of like a terrible, horrible thing that you just, it's like a poo storm.
But that happened 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Right. And so you should be talking to somebody if you want help with that. But you shouldn't be handling it. No, you should be not handling it. You should be in really serious pain right now, which I'm sure you are.
I mean, I am. I mean, it's difficult. I mean,
How can we help tonight?
What would you say the best course of action?
To get some help with this, to talk to somebody about
this. Talking to a therapist
a lot. And to go to talk to your sponsors on a daily basis and gather and start spending more time with your sober peers. Have coffee with them. Spend extra time. They'll support you.
All right, dude. Good luck. I mean, that truly is awful. And I wish you the best. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Switch on, press talk button, and you broadcast. No wires needed, yet voices travel back and forth. On this week's big podcast with Shaq, is Shaq a helicopter sports dad like Diddy?
In a few years, Sharif will have his opportunity to play college ball. Don't tell me that Shaq's going to end up being like Diddy, going after a coach and going out in handcuffs at practice.
You know what? I don't believe the media most of the time.
Speculation.
However,
right.
If somebody disrespects my son, I'm going to have to also get arrested. Any form of disrespect was going on, I'd probably have to go see the coach.
Oh, man.
I'd probably have to go see the coach.
You get arrested, this show gets canceled.
Listen, I know Ray Donovan. We'll be out in 5 minutes.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Eric.
Closest visible conjunction of Venus and Jupiter in 2,000 years.
I have Tourette's.
Is right now. Yep, tonight. Tomorrow night.
Tonight. No, Topher.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Eric.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
You live, guys.
You live very much.
Thank you guys for all you guys do. I'm a first-time caller. I'm kind of dealing with a little situation at work. I am a gay 27-year-old male, and I work with this girl who's giving me kind of like these hints that she would totally like hook up with me if I was down.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I just thought it was kind of cute, but now I'm kind of like, should I do it? Like, I know I'm gay, and I know like my soulmate will be a male. But another part of me is kind of like, dude, you're 27, like, you're single, like, why don't you just try it out, you know?
And does she know you're gay?
She completely knows I'm gay. Like, I'm very open with it.
She's going to get more attached than you expect.
And that's kind of what I'm fearing as well.
Have you ever banged a chick?
That, like, never. I'm a straight virgin.
Okay. Honestly, like, if you are making it clear that you're not into it, like, and it's not a joke, like, you're a gay guy, and it's, I feel like it's beyond not cool, it's really dangerous, like, for her to keep pressuring you.
Yeah, yeah. It's messing with everybody.
So part of me I feel like she's totally, like, no strings attached as well. Like,
it doesn't matter. What if I was telling you the same story, but it was all, like, role reversal? And I was like, hey, I'm me married to my wife, but there's this gay guy, and he just keeps letting me know that I can bang his ass whenever I want, and it's really starting to make me feel uncomfortable. Everyone in the world would be like, well, dude, let him know that it's not funny anymore. He's got to stop.
Yeah, well, I think it would just be like a one-time thing. I don't think it would be like an ongoing situation. Like,
then what'd you call for?
Like, I just feel like, do you think it would just, like, ruin the friendship?
Yes!
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, for sure.
I mean, that has nothing to do with sexual proclivity. If you bang a chick, you're no longer her friend. Like, I'm just letting you know that, as someone who's been down that road. All right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, all right, dude. For sure. Thank you.
No problem.
Right, good luck.
Hello, Christina.
Oh, hi, guys. Good evening. Dr. Drew and Mike, long-time listener here.
Thanks.
You guys live.
You live.
You Asian?
Yeah. I'm half. Yes. How'd you know?
I just can
Arcadia. Arcadia gave it away, huh?
Oh, you, there it is. No, I didn't even know. I just like there was like a weird kind of. Not weird, but a unique timbre to your voice that only a San Marino boy could detect.
I'm half Danish, half Filipino.
Nice.
What's up?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, question is kind of hurt right now. Traditional, old-fashioned, but I tried online dating because a friend said, you know, it's the way to go nowadays. So met this guy over 2 months. He chased me, even though I kind of pushed him away, kept chasing me. So I ended up liking him, and we communicated, and we finally met this past weekend after 2 months. And I learned that he's, like, stringing, like, 8-10 women at the same time.
Oh,
nice.
So, yeah, and that's not how I thought it was. I mean, in hindsight, now I kind of see little clues. But I guess two questions here. First one relates to tonight's topic. How can a guy who divorced 45-year-old, I'm 35, so that's my target age, how is that possible that they're happy with that? How are they satisfied with that as opposed to a real relationship? And second question,
I don't think you are very long term, just to be honest. I as a guy who was juggling that much vagine, you're not. I mean, you it's definitely enjoyable to have sex with numerous women that you like having sex with.
Yeah.
But it's not fulfilling.
Oh no, I didn't have sex with him. No.
No, you're not listening. You're not listening. Say it again, Mike.
It's definitely fulfilling. It's definitely rewarding to do that and enjoyable.
Men may not like it long term, but for a while,
but it's not fulfilling.
They like it a lot.
Yeah. But like the idea of it and doing it, the process of having sex with many women is awesome.
For men.
It's very enjoyable, but it is not fulfilling. It doesn't end up being very rewarding or fulfilling.
They usually tire of it.
Yeah.
So he knows I'm a good girl, and I'm upfront with that. Why would he do any? Why would anyone do that?
How can I protect myself? Okay, Christina,
you should not be listening. With this guy.
You're not listening.
I had Mike tell you twice
how men work with this. You didn't hear it, so we're not going to repeat it.
Okay.
But you do need to be careful and not be around guys like this, for sure. For sure.
How do I stay genuine and be out there in this online silliness?
Well, no. Not every guy is like that, is not every guy at that stage in his life.
And maybe not online. Oh. Maybe you don't do any online stuff. Maybe use a dating service. Meet people through other
when
people.
When you're online, you just got to go to the right places.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was match. Yeah.
I'm telling you, even guys who do that in their life, not all every guy is at that stage in his life. He just happens to be at that point right now.
Right, but he's that guy.
It's not for you.
Yeah, it's not for you.
All right?
Not for you.
Let's see. Oh, can't go there. Let's talk to Kayla.
Yes.
Hi. What's happening?
Hi, I love you guys. I just want to say that. Okay, so my mom has been, I just need advice. My mom's been very manipulative my whole life, and she's been very needy and dependent on me a lot, and she's been struggling for the past couple of years to find a job. And she's always asked me for help, because I've always had a decent job. Is it possible for me to help her, or should I just go on with my own life? I'm not sure what to do.
I don't understand. What kind of help does she want?
She wants financial help, like, oh, help me with rent or help me with this, but in
do you
my
live
opinion,
with her?
She thought, no, I do not live with her right now, but she always wants me to move back and financially help her.
No, I'm not sure if I should.
Well, you're 24 years old. Why is she not able to take care of herself?
She always has excuses like, oh, I can't take that job because I'm physically not able to.
Is she a drug addict? Is she an alcoholic or a drug addict?
Or a pill user or something?
She depends on weight. She used to take my paychecks when I was 18, and she would use it to buy weed and pay for rent, but I just always had this bitter feeling towards her, and so I moved out when I was 18. But do not enable her.
She needs to take, she's a grown-up. She needs to take care of herself.
Yeah, even if it ends up her being on the streets, it's not my problem, right?
Anyway, she will not end up on the streets. She needs to get sober, get a job, get with it. She's a capable person.
She's an adult. She's able to take care of herself.
Yes.
She shouldn't rely on me.
And not you enable her to continue in this man.
Yeah. Okay. So just basically do the tough love thing. Like, it's not my problem. You have to take care of yourself.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Kayla. Good luck.
All right. Bye.
Hello, Jen.
Hey. How's it going?
What's up, yo?
Hang on a second. I'm just saying.
I don't know what.
Jen, one second. I'm feeling conflicted about that last call because, you know, families should be taking care of one another if she's really impaired. So if she's
not impaired.
I understand, but if she's unable to respond once you set limits with her, then at least try to get her some help before we let her go to the streets. All I'm
saying. Yeah, I mean, you don't give her, don't put her on the bus to the streets.
Right.
But
right.
At the same time, okay. You can't prevent her from, you know.
Okay, Jen.
Go ahead, Jen.
Hey. I don't know what the "you live" thing means, but everyone's saying it, so you live.
Thank you very much.
Listen to the beginning of the show, but anyway, go ahead.
It means nothing to me.
Yeah,
so
it's
from Boogie Nights.
Yeah. My question is, I was kind of exposed to porn really early in life. We got illegal cable from a neighbor so that we could get free channels, but it ended up having adult channels on it, which my mom didn't realize.
Sick.
And my brother and I were only a year apart in age. We were like 8, 9 years old, and we found it, and we would watch it and be like, whoa, and it was kind of shocking, whatever, but you're still a little kid, and it's oddly sexually arousing, even though some of it was like, it was not anything crazy. Like,
Jen, we're running out of time. What's the question?
I cannot actually have an orgasm with a person I am having sex with. I have to go into a fantasy world, and it is increasingly like, it just seems to increase more and more the intensity of the things I have to imagine, even though in real life I don't act out any of those things.
All right, I'm going to send you to a website. We can talk to you tomorrow if you want to call back, but the website is centerforhealthysex.com. Go to that website. You can read about the effects of early porn exposure. centerforhealthysex.com.
Thank you. And in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, remember, we do. Be good people.
60 seconds before Loveline begins. That's 60 seconds. Now it's down to 55.
Suck my balls.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.
Stanley.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.